Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Yud Beis. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. The Gemara has been focused on the halacha that a husband is the yorish of his wife. And the Gemara has been trying to find the source for this halacha. So says the Gemara, Rishma Olam Enet Tzarech Drashazah, as we learned in our previous shir, but the Gemara had suggested the way we learn it is from the pasuk of Nesatim as Nachla She'eroloi, but in order to be able to learn from that pasuk successfully, what the Gemara said what was needed to be done was to do surgery on the pasuk and add and letters and words and commas, and Rishmol wants to avoid that type of a limit. So Shmuel Amar Enet Tzarech, we don't have to rely on that type of a drasha, because Harei Oimer the pasuk says V'chol Bas Yereshes Nachla Matas Bnei Yisrael Achas Mishpachos V'Mati Ahi Avia Tia LeIsha LeMan Yirshu Bnei Yisrael Ish Nachlas Avoysof. Says the Gemara Basaba Sabal Kos Bedaber. The pasuk is speaking about a wife who is getting married to a husband, and the husband is not from the same shevet as the wife. And the Torah says that that generation that was in Eretz Yisrael and were inheriting and getting the shear in Eretz Yisrael, if a woman from one shevet were to marry a man from another shevet, not like the shevet of a father, so then when she passes away, if she passes away before her husband, so her husband will yashin her, and this shear of property which was in the possession of one shevet, will now end up in the possession of another shevet. And because to avoid that, says the Torah that she should only marry to somebody from her own shevet. So from here we see, says the Gemara, that a husband is obviously the yorish of his wife. And then the Gemara continues for Omer. There's another pasuk over there that says, v'loisisoiv nachla v'nei Yisrael, Mimata Lamata. We want to avoid that portion should be taken from one shevet to another shevet. The Omer, and then there's another pasuk that says, V'loisis of Nachla Mimata Lamata Acher. Again, the Torah says, by being careful about the portion being taken from one shevet to another shevet. The Omer, and then the Gemara says, there's another pasuk. The pasuk says, V'lozer ben Aaron Meis. Elazar, the son of Aaron, passed away. And he was buried in the property of his son Pinchas. And now the question is, if Pinchas is Elazar's son, so everything that Pinchas comes from his father Elazar. So ask the Gemara, Menayim LePinchas, where does Pinchas have real estate that he didn't get from his father Elazar? Amalamit, from here we see, Shanasa Pinchas Isha, Pinchas married a woman, and then this woman, Mesa, passed away, V'yarsha, and he yashened her, so it has nothing to do with what he received from his father, but we see that a husband yashens a wife. V'oimer, and then there's a pasuk in Divrei Yomim, continues the Gemara, Uskuv Hoyleres Yoyer, Yair was Skuv's son. He owned 23 cities in Eretz HaGilad. Now the question is, again, a similar question to what we had again a moment ago. How does Yair have property that wasn't originally his father's Skuv's property? Again, says the Gemara, what must have happened? The Lamed, that what happened was, Shalnasa Yoyer Isha, the Yar married a woman, Umesa, and then this woman passed away, Viyarsha, and he inherited his wife. Again, a proof that a husband was Yarshan's wife. Says the Gemara, Maiva Omer. So Rabbi Shmuel had just, we only had the first pasuk of Chabas Yereshes Nachal Matz Bnei Yisrael Lechem Mishpachos Mati Avia Til Ish Laman Yish Bnei Yisrael Ish Nachal Savoysof. V'chitame, we would say that this pasuk is Besibas Haben Kakapet Kra. Here the pasuk is speaking about a woman who would marry somebody not from her shevet, And as we've been discussing, certainly if a woman's not married, her yorish is her son. And what the Torah is saying is that she should be careful to marry a man from the same shevet as she is from, because we want that when she passes away and her son is her yorish, it should be that her son is from the same shevet as her family's from. Aval, but that doesn't tell us anything ba'al yorish. It doesn't speak to her husband being a yorish. So how, but we're trying to learn how we know that her husband is a yorish. Tashma. So the pasuk says, "V'lo sisav nachlav v'nei Yisrael mimata amata," that the first pasuk is speaking about the concern that the Yerusha should not go to her son from a different shevet, and the second pasuk is speaking about that the should not go to her husband from a different shevet. Says the Gemara, "V'chi tema." Why would we say, ask the Gemara, that one pasuk is speaking about the son, and one pasuk is speaking about the husband? Why shouldn't we say lava la belava say that the first pasuk is only teaching us a mitzvah say, and as we know, often taught in Shas, that even though it's a lav that is extrapolated from this say, the halacha is that lav haba machlala say is not the type of lav for which you get malchus, and therefore the Torah said another pasuk that should teach us that you also get that there's a lav, a full-fledged lav, that when if you'll marry and cause that the son will get the Yerusha not from the same shevet, Tashma, so there's a third pasuk of Laisis of Nachla, Mimata Lamata. That pasuk, Mimata Lamata Acher, that pasuk is coming to teach us the halacha that about the husband being the Yerush. And because the husband's being a Yerush, we have to be concerned that they should be from the same shevet. So ask the Gemara, but maybe, v'chi tema, maybe what we ought to say, that lava love, that all the psukim are speaking about the son, and the Torah is teaching us that lava love, that if you will marry, that if she marries somebody outside of a shevet, and then her son ultimately is her Yerush, in that case, lava love, the Torah is saying that if that were to happen, there will be two lavin and an essay. But again, the Torah is not speaking about a husband. And of course, the Rishonim ask a question that the Gemara in Masechta Pesachim Daf Chof Dalet Amud Beis teaches us that if we have a pasuk and we could say the pasuk is coming to teach us a new halacha, or to say that the pasuk is just coming to repeat and add a lav to something that we already knew is usur, we say that the pasuk is teaching us something new, not just to add or repeat lavim. So why would we want to think that this pasuk is coming to teach us that another lav, if she'll cause her son from a different shevet to yashin her, wouldn't it be preferable to say the pasuk is speaking about her husband and teaching us a new halacha? So says the Ritva that the halacha that a husband yarshins a wife, and this is a halacha, this is a concept that comes up often in our sugya here. The husband yarshing a wife is a very big chiddush, it's a new halacha. Because when a husband yarshins a wife, he's not yarshining her as a relative. It's a new halacha that he's yarshining her as a husband. And the Gemara is suggesting, it says the Ritva, that that's a big chiddush, because when we speak about Yerusha always, we speak about relatives. And therefore, we would preferably say, says the Ritva, that the pasuk is repeating a halacha that we know, rather than teaching us a new halacha. To say, and the pasuk is coming to teach us, Shnei Lavin Vasei. That's why Toshma, the Gemara brings the other pasuk, of Elazar ben Arameis, V'yigbaroi, so begivus pichs benoi. So here we see that this property never belonged to his father, Elazar. And then the question is, how did Pinchas end up with this property? And the answer is, Pinchas ended up with this property because he was a Yerush of his wife. Seg continues the Gemara, v'chi tema, and if we want to say, Elazar hu d'nasav itasav, Elazar married a woman, Umesa, and this woman passed away, v'yarsa Pinchas, and Pinchas, her son, who was also Elazar's son, was the Yerush. So we don't have a raya that a husband yarshins, because this pasuk will again be a situation where a son yarshin toshma. So now, therefore, he quoted the pasuk of skuv hoilid es yoyer. And if that pasuk we were to explain is teaching us the same halacha, that would be difficult to accept. That would be very, very difficult to accept, because why would we need two psukim to teach us the same story that a son yarshined his mother? If the Torah went out of its way to teach us the story twice, it must be to teach us that the husband is the yoyrish. That was the same situation. Says the Gemara, imken trei kralamali, why would we need to have two psukim to teach us the same halacha? Says the Gemara, Rapapa is still not satisfied. Amali Rapapa labaya, memai. What forces you to say this? And the husband is never yorish of a husband. All the psukim are just speaking about a case where a son was yorish his mother. And the question is, if that's the question, if I, the pasuk of Yoyer, that how did he have property that his father didn't have, if not that we say that he got the property by inheriting his wife, the Zoven Mizbin, that he bought the property, and that's why he had that property. Pinchas Nami, and then continues the Gemara to say, and so too shall we say that Pinchas bought the property, the Zoven Mizbin. Says the Gemara, to explain the pasuk by Pinchas, that it was a situation of property that Pinchas purchased, is not a tenable pshat. Amalei Pinchas, the Zoven Mizbin Leimatzis Amrit. It's not acceptable to say that Pinchas bought this property. Dim came, because we know that in those times, the halacha is yoivel. And the halacha is that by yoivel, everything goes back to the original owner. So Nimtzis, if Pinchas bought these properties, Sadezu Chazeres B'Yoivel, this property would go back to its original owner in Yoivel. And what does the pasuk say happened in this property? What happened in this property was, Nimtzis Elazar was buried in this property. And it would be a terrible situation that the tzaddik cover bekevesh and shloi, that Elazar, the great tzaddik, was buried in a property that's not his, and ends up, who knows what's going to be when Pinchas, that will happen, that Elazar will have to be taken out, or be in a property that doesn't belong to his father. So many mefarshim ask the question that, what are we saying? That Elazar yashin this property from his wife. So it turns out that when Elazar is buried in a property that he got from his wife, which is not his family. And if that's the case, then why is that not considered embarrassing? So the Mefarshim explain, when we speak about halachas of Yoivel, we speak about halachas of Yoivel, not in all situations does the property go back at the end of the time at by Yoivel. So it would be a case where he got it in a way that it won't have to go back in Yoivel. So therefore, ask the Mefarshim, so say the same thing here, that Pinchas bought this property, but he bought it in a way that he doesn't have to return it by Yoivel. So the same point should go back. So how would it be a raya? So the Mefarshim explain that it's, the Gemara doesn't want to say that halacha, the Gemara doesn't seem to accept that that's what happened here. So the Tzais asks, we've learned many times that if somebody was Magdish Esteyachuzah, and then when he was Magdish Esteyachuzah, if the owner or his son never redeemed that property, we learned that halacha is that property goes to the Kahanim by Yoivel. So maybe that was the type of property that Pinchas got, and that's where he buried his father. Mefarshim say, it's difficult to accept that explanation. Because even if the property goes to the Kahanim by Yovel, there are different opinions for how long does that happen. And there's some that suggest that it's not forever. And at a certain point, it does go back to the original owner. And that's why the Gemara didn't want to give that teretz. From here we see, says the Chasam Sofer, that there's a specific point, a special point, that the Gemara says, Nimtza Tzadik Kover She'ena Shaloi, that you should own the place that you are buried in. And that's why the Chasam Sofer says that a person should go out of the way that buy the burial spot that he owns, not get it as a gift. And that exhorted the Shas Chuvis, Chuvis van Hoggis, and Chelik Aleph Simon Tovshin Gimel suggest that doing so prevents the Shadim from having any influence over that kever. And he says that if somebody never bought himself a place, a plot, that the children should be careful to spend money and buy a spot for their father before the father is buried there. And moreover, he says that the kinyan should be done in a way that the kinyan is a full-fledged kinyan, and he should buy the full right of that property. He should buy the full right of the property, and that property, say, fully own the property. And the Kava Yosher anyway says that Chassidim are Rishonim Shebaretz Yisrael, the original Chassidim, Hayinagim Likvos Lam Keva Beis Achayim, would buy themselves a plot, be Yusim Bechaya Hayayim, while they're still alive, and they should try to buy the Eitz Al Noshim Ksherim, next to people who are fine people, Ayudulam Shoye Tzadikim, that were known to be Tzadikim, Vegam Hayinagim, there was also a minig, Shoye Mispalalim Shom Ba'ois Mokim, that a person would daven at the place that is destined to be his burial spot. They would say Divrei Torah there. They would make a neder to give tzedakah. That's how they prepared the place properly. That's where they would be buried. Machmas kedusha says the Gemara, because of that kedushin, Hayagayrim, the Pavayash says they caused Shalei Laskarav Sitra Acher Acher Mosim Sham, that the Sitra Acher cannot be come there. And as we discussed in our previous shurim, that there's a very important issue not to take a mace out of the kever, and the Chroinim debate that we spoke under what circumstances may we take a nifter out of his burial spot. And the Chasam Sofer suggests that to take a nifter who was buried in a certain spot, in order to bring him to the spot where she bought and prepared for himself, is a good enough reason to remove a person from there. The Mishnah Melech disagrees, and the Mishnah Melech says, as we learned when we spoke about that, that one should be careful not to remove a nifter, and this is one of the reasons that he should not move the nifter. The Yerushalmi has a discussion we spoke a few moments ago about somebody who buys a steyachuza, and the halacha is that since that field is going to be returned in Yovel, what is the buyer allowed to do on that piece of property? And the Rambam and Rava disagree, and of the opinion that the Yerushalmi says that you can't do anything on it because it has to be returned in its original condition. The Rambam says that as long as it's in the buyer ownership, possession, he could do whatever he wants. And even though when Yovel comes, he's going to have to give it back. Ask the Mishnah Melech that according to Yerushalmi, that says that the property that I bought that I'm going to have to give back by Yovel, I have to give back in proper condition So asked the Mishnah Melech, how could the Gemara have said here that this was a property that Pinchas bought and he wanted to, and Elazar was buried there, if it's going to have to give him back by Yovel, so you can't dig and make holes and put farm there? Says the Chasam Sofer, and the Mechas Chinuch says there, that digging holes in a stay achuza is not a problem that if the seller gives permission. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, our Gemara will say that the Havamina of the Gemara was that he got permission. And another pshat is, the Chasam Sofer says that actually our Gemara is a raya that the psak of the Chasam Sofer is, the psak of the Rambam, says the Chasam Sofer, is correct. And that's why Rambam says you can dig. Otherwise, the Gemara could have never suggested the net. As there's an interesting question that the Cheshuki Chemet says, we just quoted the Chasam Sofer, who is so concerned that one should be buried in a kever that belongs to him. And the Cheshuki Chemet discusses a situation where somebody was nifter on Yontif, and we know under certain circumstances a levaya may take place on Yontif. So now the question is, this a person who was nifter on Yontif, this person had never bought himself a mokum kfura. Our Gemara, the Chasam Sofer, based on our Gemara, is teaching us how critical it is to own the place where you're going to get buried. And now it's Yontif, we were not allowed to do business. What should they do? So he says, there is no heter on Yontif to do something like that. But what he does suggest is that what you should do on Yontif, says the Chasam Sofer, says the Cheshuki Chemet, you can't give money. Yontif cannot be desecrated in that way. But he suggests that they should come up with a price and do whatever they can to fulfill what we know you have to own the kever. Ella Ema, says the Gemara, why, again, is this pasuk not a raya that a husband yashins a wife? Because the Nafle Mestei Charomim, the Torah teaches us, Kol Cherim B'Yisrael L'cha Yiyah, and the halacha is that the Charomim belong to the Kohen. And something that the Kohen receives as a Cherim, is the halacha is, doesn't go back by Yovel. And that this property was a property that Pinchas got that way. And since he was going to keep it forever, there was no problem in burying his father. So we don't have a raya yet from this entire discussion that a husband yarshins a wife. The Torah HaKadoshah says, the Chobas Yireshes Nachem Imatz B'nei Yisrael Lachem Imashbachas Me'ata Aviyati Le'isha. And as we've learned that a woman, if her father's from one Shevet and her mother's from another Shevet, and they died without children, she is their Yairish. And therefore, the Torah teaches us she should marry someone from the same Shevet as her father, that when she yashins her father, that portion that she yashins won't go to a different Shevet. But ask the Gemara, that's fine on the property that she yashins from her father, that and her husband's from the same Shevet. Says Mar Amar Abaye, but we haven't solved the problem. Soif soif, how comes Akra Nachal Meshifted the Ima, Meshifted the Abba? She gets, if her mother dies, if her mother's father died without children, her mother was a Yairish, and now she will be the Yairish of her mother, and when she dies, her husband, her son, will be her Yairish. How do we solve that problem? Says the Gemara, Umamai, why is that a concern to you? Dilmashani Hasar Shkvar Soba. Her mother already was already, what happened was when she got married to somebody from a different Shevet, that already happened. And the daughter is connected to her father's Shevet. So it doesn't change anything. Says the Gemara, Dilma Shkvar Soba Loyamrinan. We don't say it because even though she married somebody from a different Shevet, at that point, she was alive, her parents were still alive, and there was no guarantee that she will ever get that Yerusha. But why are you saying that we have this concept that the moment she married somebody, kfar husuba, that the moving of the Yerusha doesn't happen at the moment of the marriage. The moment of the Haseva is when the father dies, and then she is married. That's when, and she becomes the Yerush. If we'll say that that it happened at the time of the marriage, that's how we can understand the pasuk. Whether a husband will be a Yerush, whether a son will be a Yerush, the father's Yerusha, her father's Yerusha will not be affected. We don't say that it happens at the moment of marriage. If she marries somebody from her father's family, my hava. Even though it didn't happen at that case, what's the point of her getting married? Nothing happened at that time. Answers Gemara, what we do is she marries a woman, says the Gemara, that is a mirror of her parents' marriage. And she should marry somebody whose father is from the same shevet as her father, and his mother is from the same shevet as mother. Yochi says, if that's what the Torah says, the Torah should have said, if she's supposed to marry somebody whose mirrors her family, her parents, so she should say, the Torah says, answers the Gemara, iksiv haki, the Torah is careful not to write it that way. Because if it would have written it that way, havamina, we would think, afilu ipcha, that as long as the man that she's marrying is a product of two shvatim, that are the same two shvatim as her parents. But that's not true. It has to be a lot more. And the main point is that the man's father should be from the same shevet as her father. And in order to avoid anything else, kamash malon. We've learned that the Torah is speaking about, that we've been discussing throughout our shir, that maybe all the psukim we're speaking about are only in situation where her son will yarshin her. We haven't really been able to conclusively know how we know that a husband yarshins her. Says the Gemara, brises that teach us about the Yerusha of the husband. And as I saw, the brisa begins, Tanya b'sibas habal, b'sibas haben. The one brisa speaks about what happens to the son. The Tanya, there's another brisa that speaks about b'sibas habal. The brisa is saying that one pasuk is about the husband and one husband is pasuk is about the son. And as I saw, the Rashbam explains this Gemara, it goes back to what we discussed earlier. Earlier, the Gemara had suggested that maybe all of the psukim are only talking about the son. And we asked the question, why would we say so many psukim speak about the same subject? As the Gemara we quoted in Masechta Pesachim, Daf Chof Dalet, tells us, we try to avoid having psukim speak about the same halacha. So says the Gemara, at this point, that, says the Rashbam, that the Gemara is moving away from that. And to have so many psukim speak about the same thing, the Gemara finds difficult. And therefore, the Gemara says, Tanya, one pasuk is speaking about Sibas Habal, and one pasuk is speaking about Sibas Haben. And the Gemara explains, V'leisisav nachlo b'nei Yisrael b'mata amata, that's b'sibas Haben kosmodaber, avoid a problem that if she'll die, and her son will be her Yerush, and he's not from the same Shevet, that the property is from. Atayim b'sibas haben or el b'sibas habal. Shoimer, says the Gemara, maybe the pasuk speaking of b'sibas habal, says the Gemara, shoimer v'loisiv nakhlo imat l'mat acher, hari sibas habal omer. That pasuk speaks about that. So shoimer ha'amanim kayim, what do we do with the other pasuk? V'loisiv nakhlo v'neisom imat amata, b'sibas haben ha'kosim b'daber. So the Torah is speaking about this husband being a Yerush, the son being a Yerush and wanting it to remain in the possession of the Shevet that she comes from, and that can only be accomplished if the husband and by extension the son are from the same Shevet as she is from. So of course the Achronim ask a question. The son and the father are from the same Shevet. If the son and the father are from the same Shevet, so by saying one halacha, the other halacha automatically kicks in. So they give a number of explanations. We're not concerned about a Seves HaBen. There could be a case where we're not worried about the son if it's a woman who's unable to have children. So there, HaSeves HaBal, that if her husband is her Yerush, and the property will end up by his property is a consideration, but not her son is not a consideration. Or that consideration is something that Emekan Netziv explains. Rabbi Chanan in the Kovetz Shurim says another example, where HaSeves HaBen is a consideration, but HaSeves HaBal is not a consideration. Says Rabbi Chanan, what would be the halacha if there's a woman who got married to a husband, and when they got married, the husband agreed that I will not be your Yerush. Even though I'm entitled to be your Yerush, I will give up that right. So if the concern is the husband taking the property into another, into his shevet, here it's not a concern because the husband has forfeited that right. But if the concern is her son, she didn't give up that, and she probably wants her son to be a Yerush. And that's why there's cases that HaSeves HaBal is the possibility, the cases where HaSeves HaBen is the possibility, and that's why the Torah had to speak about both of them.